He died in 1896, and quite soon after then, another Jamyang Khyentse was recognised. Jamyang Khyentse Chökyalodru. Now we'll call him just Jamyang Khyentse. The Jamyang Khyentse Rinpoche, that was your teacher, wasn't he? He was born just quite quickly after 1896. But apparently Jamyang Khyentse the Great had predicted that he would have five incarnations, or five emanations. One for body, one for speech, one for mind, one for guna, and one for karma, or quality and action, or essence and action. So, Jamyang Khyentse Rinpoche, Bhante's teacher, was the activity emanation of Jamyang Khyentse the Great. And Dilwa Khyentse Rinpoche, who was born later, born in fact 14 years after Jamyang Khyentse the Great's death, was recognised as the mind incarnation. And he was recognised by one of Jamyang Khyentse the Great's disciples. Apparently he saw this young aristocratic monk, or boy, as I think he was at that time, and said, "Right, I know this one. This one is Jamyang Khyentse." And quite quickly after then, of course, he was taken to the monastery and educated in the way that most of the young lamas are. Probably his education was not too different from the sort of education that Dorje Rinpoche had had. And he excelled in his education. And very early in his youth, in the middle of his, it seems to be quite a common story it seems, but in the middle of his studies, he came down very, very ill, very seriously. He was almost on death's door. And somehow they got him back to good health. And his physician said, "This illness will recur unless you get married." So he instructed that when Dilwa Khyentse Rinpoche grew older, he should marry. And, of course, according to the instructions of the physician, he did marry. And as far as I know, he had a conventional wife. I don't know that the wife was a partner in the tantric initiations and tantric rituals that some lamas go through. I think she was a conventional wife. And he had by her at least two daughters. I don't know if he had any more. I think it was just two daughters. And as an incarnation of Jamyang Khyentse, he got to be well known in eastern Tibet. I wouldn't say very well known, but he got to be well known. He was brought up in the Nyingma tradition, and he'd been recognised by Mipham, who was a Nyingmapa Lama himself, Nyingmapa Rinpoche. And he was brought up as part of the Nyingmapa tradition. But as he grew older, and as he appreciated what Jamyang Khyentse had been doing, Jamyang Khyentse the Great had been doing in his previous life, he thought he too should not maintain strict limitation within just one school. He should actually receive teachings, and he received initiations from all the other teachers. And he thought that what he should do is he should try and regain all the teachings which the previous three lamas, Jamyang Khyentse the Great, Jamgon Kongtrul and Patchol Rinpoche, had gathered together. He should receive all those teachings. So that's what he did. He set out to look for the disciples of those teachers and receive back again the teachings, and to continue the work of hunting out rare and precious teachings. And this activity with, not just Dilwa Khyentse Rinpoche, but with your own teacher, Jamyang Khyentse, that activity went on for almost all their lives. Just, you know, continue looking for another thing that had been missed to bring it back in to the stream, to the mainstream. I'll come back to this just later on in the story. Dilwa Khyentse Rinpoche, in his youth, he also formed a friendship with the new Jamgon Kongtrul Rinpoche. Again, there were two or three other incarnations of Jamgon Kongtrul. We'll call him the Great as well, Jamgon Kongtrul the Great, the previous one. And he formed a strong friendship, spiritual friendship it seemed to have been, with Jamgon Kongtrul, one of the Jamgon Kongtruls. And he took your teacher, Jamyang Khyentse, to be his teacher as well, because he had been recognised 10 to 14 years before him as a Lama. He'd been born 10 to 14 years before him as a Lama. So of course by the time he was, Dilwa Khyentse Rinpoche was 20 years old, of course, Jamyang Khyentse was well into his teaching phase. He was already between 30 and 34 years old and already imparting many of the initiations which he'd received. So Dolgo Khyentse Rinpoche took as one of his main teachers Jamyang Khyentse. One of the other main teachers he took was Tarthang Tulku, who was Trungpa Tulku, Trungpa Rinpoche, as the 10th Trungpa Rinpoche, not the one that we're familiar with from America, but his predecessor, or the previous incarnation. And Trungpa Tulku was the chief abbot of the Surmang group of monasteries in eastern Tibet, which had many of the famous Nyingmapa Lamas. And Dolgo Khyentse Rinpoche spent many years just in that group of monasteries, learning underneath all these different lamas, but mainly with Trungpa Rinpoche. And it's because of that connection with Trungpa Rinpoche that later on, with the 11th Tulku, the Tulku which came to the West and settled in America, that Trungpa Rinpoche took Dolgo Khyentse Rinpoche as being his teacher. So the teachings sort of like leapfrogging forward. You can get the impression that, you know, whatever had been passed to Dolgo Khyentse Rinpoche, he'd pass it on to Trungpa Rinpoche. And Trungpa Rinpoche would pass it on to his disciples. So apart from that, I don't know much more about his life in Tibet. You know, people came from all around to receive teachings from him. And sometimes when you pick up books by different lamas or different Tibetans who are telling their life story, you sometimes hear that they went to such and such a monastery and they had an initiation, a set of initiations from Dolgo Khyentse Rinpoche. Or maybe they had initiations from Jamyang Khyentse Rinpoche alongside many other tulkus, and among the tulkus that are often mentioned, Dolgo Khyentse Rinpoche often appears. I just finished reading a biography by Lady Jamyang Shakya, who was the wife of one of the main Shakyapa Lamas. And you know, she tells how her husband, who's being groomed to be the leader of the Shakyapa sect, the Shakyapa school, he decided to go to eastern Tibet and study with Jamyang Khyentse Rinpoche. And so off they went to eastern Tibet, and she described sitting with Jamyang Khyentse Rinpoche alongside all these other tulkus. She was the only woman there, but you know, she sat with all the other tulkus and she names them all. And of course Dolgo Khyentse Rinpoche is there with the rest of them, all receiving initiations from Jamyang Khyentse, who was very, very famous. So later on, of course, trouble comes in Tibet in the 1950s, and I think it's around about 1957-58 Dolgo Khyentse Rinpoche, along with many other Nyingmapa Lamas in eastern Tibet, because it's eastern Tibet that suffered many of the difficulties first of all, decided that, you know, look, you know, it's just not on staying here, and decided to leave. Jamyang Khyentse himself sent notes to his main disciples saying he was leaving the west, there was the east of Tibet, there was no point in being there, in fact there was no point in being Tibet, and he was going to go and settle in India. And many of his disciples followed suit. And I think that was part of the reason that Dolgo Khyentse Rinpoche came out of Tibet. But he left it a bit later than Jamyang Khyentse Rinpoche. And because of that, he, like many of the others, had great difficulty in actually getting out of Tibet. And it was quite a close thing. One of these grueling stories of climbing over passes and sliding down glaciers and whatnot, and only just making it into Bhutan before the Chinese get to them. And when he arrived with his wife and his family, he was apparently very, very poor. He brought almost nothing with him from Tibet. Just a few texts and a few little belongings was all he managed to escape with. And I think he was admitted entry into Bhutan, or at least into India, and travelled through Bhutan, where he settled in Kalimpong.